church is designed by God and it's powered by Christ. Oftentimes the local church is looked at just as a place you go to on Sunday, and sometimes we throw out a term, it's our church family. While it can be a family, it should be a family that helps carry each other along in the struggles that we all face in life. And when it functions as a family, it's a powerful thing because it's functioning the way God designed it to. And so when we look at all these prayer requests, think about praying for them, yes, individually, but we're praying for them as a church body that's headed by Christ. And we're talking about walking in truth. We're talking about the church walking in truth. Because the church is high profile. People know where the Baptist church is, and people know some of the people in it. But what do they see when they see Independent Baptist Church? Do they see Jesus Christ, or do they see a bunch of complainers like Israel was? What do they see? And so it's so vitally important that we pray that God teach us how to be one person, and that one person is Christ as a corporate body. What has really, and I'm talking about a spiritual thing, what has really wowed you? What has really set you back? Something maybe you read in the scriptures, something you've seen? How about the gospel and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How's that do for you? Does it still have a grip on you? Does it still throw wonderment at you? Or have we so come accustomed to those things that we kind of just, Jesus died for my sins? Or is there still wonder there? One of the things God had done in Israel certainly was to show him his wonders, show them his wonders. They actually experienced the wonders of God, whether it was through the plagues of Egypt. You know, they were protected during those plagues. They were in the land of Goshen, and the rest of Egypt was under those plagues, not the children of Israel. And while they were in captivity, while they were in bondage, God was right before them, humbling their enemies to the point where they would let them go. Just kind of an interesting thing. But with that said, we know that that corporate group of people didn't listen. 3 days out in the wilderness, they believed that God had called them out there to die. And that's not what he said. They called them out there to worship him as their king. And so what I want to look at tonight, there's questions in the Bible that we need. When you come across the question, it's directed at the reader. And the reader needs to answer the question. I'm going to read a couple verses out of Isaiah. Then I'm going to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Try to challenge your thinking in this area of God and who he is. Before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's living and abiding. It's the word of life. It's the word by which we will be sanctified because it is truth. We thank you for that. We thank you that we have a place, a resource to go to read and to meditate on. But Lord, we need to listen to what is said in this book. Help us to listen tonight. Teach us all. Pour your spirit out on us all as we look at your word, and may it change us forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First passage out of Isaiah I'm going to read is Isaiah chapter 44. So if you'd like to turn to 44, and I'm going to begin with verse 6. And there's a question in there, and that's the question I want us all, myself included, to really think about, not only tonight, but through this week. I'm challenged. This is like a vision challenge of who God is. Verse 6, chapter 44 of Isaiah. By the way, some of these verses are the verses that God used to call me into the ministry because of what he says here. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Now, before the next verse, which asks the question, do you understand? Do you have any idea what he just said? I know you do, intellectually, but how about the depth of what he just said? He said, the Lord, the Yahweh, the King of Israel. It's kind of, how do we know God was their king? Well, he delivered them out of Egypt and set up a law. He legislated for them. He protected them. He fed them. He took care of them. He's their king. They rejected him as king for a human king. The Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, which means he's the forever. And everything else is in between. He is the first and he is the last. And there is no God besides me. When you go through your Bible, that's one of the verses you want to underline. Whenever you say, there's no God besides me, there is no God besides me. That's important because when God gives us a command, it's coming from a God, there is no other. He is the first, he is the last. He's not only Israel's Redeemer, he is our Redeemer. He died for our sins. Our sins were put on a holy God, the God of life, and he died in our place. We need to meditate on that. So when he gives us a command, who is that command coming from? And this is what the author, this is what Isaiah is teaching. I am the first, I am the last, there is no God besides me. What do we put in place of God? Because the next question addresses that. Verse 7, and who is like me? Now, what did he just say? He was the King of Israel. He was their Redeemer. He's the Lord of hosts. He is the first and the last. Now, the question comes, who is like me? Now, the context tells you the answer. Who is like me? You can answer. No one. There isn't anyone. There's none besides me. Who are you going to liken me to? No one. There's no one that we can liken God to. It's it. He's the top. But we live our lives sometimes by, I'm not going to listen to God. Whoa. Who are you going to listen to? Maybe my friends. Maybe the world. Maybe some superstar athlete. Who am I going to listen to? Because God has said, there's no one besides me. I am the first and I'm last. Who are you going to liken me to? Are you going to liken money unto God, impersonal, because of its power to make one happy? Are you going to liken your physical strength? So many people pride themselves on their physical strength and their ability to get through situations because they're just plain tough. But there's always a situation that can humble any tough guy. Who is like me? Is it your wisdom? Are you smarter than God? And we face a problem in life and we're praying and we're praying and we're praying to the first and the last, the Redeemer, the King, and we decide we know better than he does? Kind of scary thought, isn't it? Then do we really believe who he is? Here's what he says, and I'm going to, who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time I established the ancient nations, let them declare to them the things that are coming, the events that are going to take place. That puts us in our place. Can we do that? Can anybody do that? Can anything do that? Can the most powerful computer in the world do that? Can any psychic do that? The answer is no. There is none besides me. Then he says, do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? That's right out of Deuteronomy. I know of none. the exclusiveness of God. Do we get it? We can say, yes, I agree with that. Yes, I believe that. But does that belief affect how you live your life and how you walk day by day? Have we lost the wonder of the majesty and the greatness of God in our familiarity with Him? Or has He been so wonderful that we can't comprehend them, so we quit thinking and wondering? Turn the page over to Isaiah 46. By the way, these are some of only a few of the "to whom will you liken me?" 46 says, verse 5, "To whom would you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike?" How often do we compare God to us? This is the way I think it ought to be. Really? Do we really believe that God is good and we can surrender ourselves into the hands of a good God? And we know that whatever He does, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how hard life gets, do we really believe that God will take care of us? Because we usually equate blessing with pain-free living. That's not necessarily true. Who are you going to liken me to? Who are you going to compare me to that we should be alike? The next few verses, he talks about gods. And this was Israel's problem. They got into idols. But for us, we can get into idols too. We not may shape in things, but we get into things that control our life. Our children can be idols. Things can be our idols. Our homes can be idols. Our jobs can be idols. Things that so consume us, we can't even think about God. We can't think of the wonders of God. We are conditioning ourselves to be above God in priority because we're so immersed in everything else. Scary thought. Verse 9, I'm jumping down to verse 9. "Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times to which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." Ah, His purpose will be done. He will accomplish it all. It doesn't make any sense to fight against Him. It makes a lot of sense to surrender to Him and trust Him. What's He going to do? Because we don't understand God, that's not a hard thing for us to look at, because He's way bigger than we are. He's far more complex than we are. Let's do this. How does God hear the prayers of millions of people every single day, 24/7? Now, put yourself in that position, our heads would explode. Put God in that position, He's not a problem. It is not a problem for God, but we can't comprehend that because that's something we can't come close to attaining. And so, we'd just rather not think about that. All right, with that said, and I know I'm not going to have time to do all this, I'm going to try. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. By the way, a good study of Deuteronomy will help you understand all of the Old Testament. It's throughout the Old Testament. And you will see, as if I get to it, you'll see the verses I read in Isaiah are coming right out of Deuteronomy. So it's a good thing, that Old Testament book, to understand Deuteronomy, because it is woven intricately into the fabric of the whole Old Testament, which gives you a foundation for the New Testament, which will help you understand those things. I'm in Exodus, but I need to be in Deuteronomy. Oh, I can't see, even with these glasses. I think it's because I got chicken grease on the lenses or something. Could be sunscreen. That's kind of oily stuff. Okay, what you're going to see in chapter 4, and what I want to outline it quickly for you, you're going to see, first of all, a statement about the law. You want it, there's going to be teaching. There's going to be commands not to change what the teacher's teaching. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. We got to be careful we don't do that with the Bible. We can do that. If there's something we want, or we want to do or we want to believe, we may take the Bible and add to it or change it. And would never say we do that. I'm never going to do that. Do not take away. Do not add. It's God's word. It doesn't need any enhancements. It doesn't need any editing. It doesn't need any redacting. You don't take a marker and black out the areas you don't want anybody else to see. That's for politicians to do, cover up their lies. Now, first off, so we're going to see teaching, learning, keeping, and then we're going to see a witness. There's a purpose in all these things, to teach, to learn, to live, to witness. We're going to see that here. So when we look at this, the first verse in chapter 4, now, O Israel, that's an attention getter there. It's the same as the Shema in chapter 6. O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am, that's Moses, teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go into and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving to you. Pretty powerful stuff. Moses is commanded by God to teach Israel the laws and the statutes so that they may live and go in and possess the land. Listen means to do. It doesn't just mean I heard that last week, but it does not affect my life. If you listened to the first, the last, the king of Israel, the king of your life, the one that says there's no one besides me, you better listen because there's no one else to listen to. And so focus on it. And this is what he's saying. And he just says, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take anything away from it. You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you. It's a simple statement. It's not a long speech. Simply, God, listen to the commands of God that I am teaching. Now, you notice one thing? Moses says you have to learn it. We all have to learn. God designed us to be learning creatures. We are to learn continually forever. As believers, we are going to learn forever. But in this world, we're designed to keep learning. And so there's always something every day, something that we can learn. Liz, you'll appreciate this. Remember the motto of Tawanda School System, producing lifelong learners? It's what we do. We are lifelong learners. But if you quit learning, you'll dry up and you'll wither. There's always something to learn, especially about God. Your eyes, verse 3, have seen the Lord, what the Lord has done in Baal Peor, and to all the men who follow Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. And that was the Midianites, where they had gotten involved with the Midianites and God's judgment fell upon them. And they saw that. What happens when we don't listen to God? Judgment. How much proof do you need? It always happens. You don't listen to God, judgment. Not a hard thing to understand. Look at verse 4. But verse 4, but you held fast to the Lord your God and are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering in to possess. So keep them, now look at this, so keep them and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding person, people. Notice, teaching, learning, keeping, testimony. Who are these people that you're a testimony to? They're talking about. Who are the people? and all nations around them. They were not to profane the name of God to the nations. They were to spread the word of God to the nations. And if they had kept those things, if they'd listened to God, they'd kept those and protected those and lived those things, the nations around them would understand that they are wise and understanding people. Look at this next verse. For what great nation is there that has a God so near as is the Lord our God whenever we call upon him? Look at the testimony that was given. Wisdom, understanding, and the nearness of God to hear when they call. There were no nations like that. They're all in pagan worship, all in the worship of Baal and all of that stuff. Gods aren't nothing but the imagination of men that men would bow down to. It's kind of interesting how Isaiah puts it. A man goes out, he grows a tree. He cuts the tree down. He chops some of it up to keep warm. He chops some of it up to cook his food on. And the rest of it, he carves an idol out of it and worships it. Kind of interesting, isn't it? I use the produce, the thing that God had given me. It feeds me, it keeps me warm. It came from God. All that stuff came out of the ground. They knew that. Why in the world would you take what's left and make an idol out of it? The very thing that you burned for warmth and cooking. It, the absurdity of idol worship in the face of knowledge of God is incredible. Okay, so as we continue on, verse 8, or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as the whole law which I am setting before you today? Listen, hear, teach, learn, witness. That's what it's all about. The more you study the Word of God, the more you live the Word of God, you will be a testimony to who? The world around you. The world around us is falling apart, and people are recognizing, and they're not quite sure what to do about it. But someone who is in the Word of God, living the Word of God, by the power of God, people are going to see that. And they're going to want that because they have nothing else. Remember, let's see. There's so much I want to do here. I'm going to read the next section because they're dealing with idolism here, idol worship, and he changes. Look at verse 11. I'm going to start there. And you who came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, thick gloom. And when the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire, you heard the sounds of words, but saw no form, only a voice. Now look at the images here. Darkness, cloud, thick gloom, fire. None of it has form, or is constantly changing. What's the point? Are you going to make an idol of God? They thought the golden calf was a good idol. Never hit the mark because God never appeared to them in a form they could copy and they could worship. No counterfeits here. God appeared to them in a way that they could not make it. Only a voice. Only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. What's the point? He spoke to them and he wrote down what he spoke and he gave it to them. And he appeared to them only a voice. The form did not matter. It was the voice that was important because it was a voice that established the covenant with them. It is a voice that taught them what God required from them. It's the voice of God which we're held accountable to. Not the fire, not the cloud, not the thick gloom, not the darkness. None of those things are an image. And God appeared that way on purpose. The voice was what was important. Why are you getting hung up in the in the visual and not in what God is saying as he continues to go. Verse 14, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgment that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on that day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make a graven image for yourself in the form of any figure, in the likeness of male or female, in the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, a likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, through which the Lord your God has allotted all the people under whole of heaven. You know, why? Don't do that. Don't worship what God has made. Worship God. Donnie's been preaching so powerfully. It is not about us. It's all about God. And that's where we need to be. Those sermons that he's been preaching are outstanding. But you got to sit and you listen to them. You got to meditate on them. It is not about you, it is about God. And that's why when he talks about repentance, we are repenting not for ourselves, but for God. Because it's all about God. He's the one whom we have offended. And yet when we repent of ourselves, we're just trying to protect ourselves. We're trying to keep from the consequences of this sin. It's all about God, not about his creation, as wonderful it is. And notice what God says. He says here in verse 20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for his own possession as today. He reminds them of what? The king's redemption of his people. They're his special possession. He loved them. He was willing to humble a great nation of Egypt, to take them out of bondage, out of the iron furnace, and make a great nation out of them. Listen to the king. Listen to your redeemer. Listen to Jesus Christ, our redeemer. Don't sway. When we find ourselves struggling in that area, Lord, help me to obey you. Help me to hear you. You redeemed my life from sin. You broke me from the slavery of sin to love and serve you. Teach me to love and serve you. Make me love and serve you. Don't let me be sidetracked. Moses gives himself as an example. He says, I'm not allowed to go into the promised land. I have to die here. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful to do what God says. Because Moses broke the testimony of the holiness of God before the people. God wouldn't let him go into the promised land. James says, let not many of you become teachers, for in it you incur a stricter judgment. What role has Moses been saying he's doing down through here? He's a teacher. But when he stood before that rock and he disobeyed God, he did not treat God as holy, and God's judgment on him, you're not going into the land. So this is why he says from personal testimony, so you guys be careful. Watch yourself. Listen to God. Don't get tied up in idol worship. Because I can't go into the promised land because I wasn't careful. I lost my temper. I struck the rock when God told me to speak to it. He didn't hear God. He wasn't careful. His anger plugged his ears, plugged his heart to selfishness in frustration, to the point where he didn't hear God, so he struck the rock twice. We can become like that. We can do that same thing. I am so angry. These people, God, you gave me, they're a real pain and they're discomfort to me. I'll give them water. No, it's not what God wanted. He couldn't hear God, so he gives himself as a... Oh, man, how fast does time go when you're having fun? I'm going to jump down. He talks more about idol worship and how the people will worship idols and that kind of thing. But I wanted to get down to close this off. Let's go to 32 of chapter 4. You'll have to read the rest of it. This says, indeed, verse 32, Ask now concerning the former days were before you, since the day that created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything been done like this great thing, or has anything been heard like it? And this is talking about God delivering Egypt, God delivering the people out of Egypt. Has anything been done? Has anything been heard? Now, Isaiah told us what about God? Who are you going to liken me to? Because I declare the events from the beginning to the end. What is God doing here? He's declaring the events. Has anything been done since Adam like this? He's making them think about history. And they did know history. And we need to remember that. They weren't blocks of rock. You know, all the, that's what Darwinianism does. Ancient people were stupid. No, they weren't stupid. They built those pyramids, and those pyramids are so fantastic that those same Darwinian dudes say that spacemen came down and helped them build them. And they also came down in Peru, too, by the way. They were landing in different places so that they could help these stupid people how to build pyramids. That's not true. The people were smart. They were intelligent. One of the things, I'm going to give you a quick story and then I have to let you go. But at the Wooden Boat Show Seth and I were at, one of the seminars was on ancient navigation. You might remember, some of you good folks may remember, it was in the early 60s, about the Kon-Tiki. It was a Hawaiian canoe, but it was like a big sailboat, that went from Hawaii to Tahiti, which is over 1,000 miles. And the people at the time, the smart people, said they could never do that. It wasn't possible to do that. They weren't smart enough. Well, they did it. And so what they did, they started to study, how in the world did these guys navigate to find Tahiti? And it was really fascinating. They watch birds. They know the sky. They know the stars. They watch waves and the effects of waves. They gather all this information that they can see, actually see in God's creation. And it taught them how to navigate. And they could go pretty much wherever they went. Now, there's a group of people, they're Hawaiians, and they had their big Hawaiian boat there. They were circumventing the globe using the same techniques. And they had come all the way, well, they're from Hawaii. They're now in Mystic, Connecticut. So they got there, Indian Ocean, around the Cape of Hope. And they talk about finding small, tiny islands. No sextant, no GPS, just the stars, the waves, and birds, and some other things. And it's amazing. But there was a time that the smart guys said, these people can't do that. They're not smart enough. Well, they're a whole lot smarter than you. That's all I got to say. Anyway, so you never know what you're going to learn at the Wooden Boat Show. Okay, it's almost time to go. Verse 33, has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire as you have heard it and survived? The answer is no. Has any God tried to go and take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs, and by wonders, by war, and by mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, by great terrors, as the Lord your God has did for you in Egypt before your eyes? The answer is no. To you it has been shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God, and there is no other besides him. Out of the heavens, he lets you hear his voice to discipline you, and on the earth let you see his great fire. You heard his words from the midst of the fire. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he personally brought you from Egypt by his great power. And it goes on and on. But the point is, the questions. Has any God ever done any of this stuff? Go back in history, Israel. Has God ever done any of these things that you have experienced? And the answer is no. Then why not listen to him? And if we put it on ourselves, look at your own life. Look at the salvation in Jesus Christ. and all that has happened and all the blessings and all the information you have learned through the study of the scriptures, through personal testimony, through your active work and ministry of your own. Has any other God ever done anything like this? And the answer is no. Then listen to him. He is who he says he is. He is the first. He is the last. And there's no one besides him. He is the only one. Let us think on those things. Let us think about how great and powerful our God is. And listen to him and obey him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great greatness. You are so far above us. You created heavens and earth. You and you alone. You put man upon the earth. You and you alone. You brought man up and formed the children of Israel. You brought your son into the world to die for the sins of the world that you might redeem mankind back to the very good. None has ever done it. You are the first. You are the last. Teach us to listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. I went over time a little bit, but yeah. Oh, yes. Tammy would like